I am speaking with Tim Bartik, who is an economist with the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research in Kalamazoo, and part of his research has been on early childhood education, including a blog which he writes about that called Investing in Kids. He is here to talk about Michigan's new funding for early childhood education. Tim, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Where does this leave Michigan now in terms of its standing nationwide for funding early childhood education?
Well, the legislation that just passed is a major step forward. I mean, the governor proposed a major expansion of the state's pre-K program, which is called the Great Start Readiness Program. People in Kalamazoo Public Schools may know it as PEEP. Has different names in different school districts. And essentially, the funds legislature approved on the governor's recommendation will do two very important things. One, it will increase the number of slots for four-year-olds in state finance preschool by about 25%, a quarter, which is a major advance. Two, for the first time in 10 years, it actually increases the real amount per slot. So that will help ensure quality. Now, that still leaves Michigan well short of the leading states. I estimate that this will move the number of percentage of four-year-olds in state finance pre-K from about 19% currently to somewhere around 24-25% in Michigan. And the leading states, such as Oklahoma, are over 70%. On the other hand, realistically, I mean, even if the governor had said we're going to have universal preschool, there's no way in 1 year you could go from 19% to 74%. That would be something you'd have to spend at least 5 years to do. So I think this is a major step forward, and it will provide quality preschool services to many more four-year-olds. There'll be many more kids better prepared for kindergarten. And we know from research that this leads to better adult outcomes, higher earnings, higher educational attainment, lower crime rates. So I think it's a big advance for the state.
But even with that funding increase, you wrote on your blog last week that even if that were the number that they went to, and there was still some debate about that, but they picked a higher number to increase the per child allotment. You say even with that, Michigan is still falling somewhat short of what's really needed for quality preschool.
Right. Basically, a number of studies have looked at what quality preschool takes. I mean, what class size do you need? What kind of teacher salaries do you need to attract good teachers? And you end up concluding that for a half-day preschool program, the cost is about $4,500 per school year. And why is it so much? It's so much because you need to have lower class sizes in preschool than you can have in K-12 because of the age of the kids. So, you know, quality preschool is costly. It's in many ways even more costly than K-12. But that early intervention makes a lot more difference, which is what justifies the extra cost. Now, Michigan under this will move up to from about $3,400 to $3,625. And as I said, you need $4,500. So we're still short. So basically, local areas are going to have to figure out some way of making up that gap and somehow subsidizing it. It's going to be difficult. It's a challenge, but at least a somewhat more manageable challenge than it was before this increase.
And is an underfunded program which allows more children to participate better than one that doesn't allow as many kids in?
Well, I mean, you have to reach a certain quality standard for these programs to make a difference. No one is advocating for preschool that's low quality. There's no point in just expanding a program that's low quality. Now, Michigan's program has in the past been rated very highly. There's some very good evaluation studies showing it's been effective, not only increasing kindergarten readiness, but also increasing on-time high school graduation. I think the quality of Michigan's program was being threatened by the fact that the state for many years just kept the amount per kid fixed as inflation eroded its real value. And this increase this year starts reversing that. I think what happens over the long term is going to depend how is this followed up on in subsequent years. Is the state going to make a sustained effort over the next 4 or 5 years to not only increase access to high-quality preschool, but to make sure it's high-quality by one, funding it adequately, and two, having adequate quality standards and adequate staff development and program development to maintain quality.
You're also a member of the board of KC Ready 4s, which is trying to provide affordable early childhood education to every child in Kalamazoo County at the age of four. Does this have any impact on those efforts?
It doesn't directly impact because it doesn't provide any financial help directly for Casey Ready 4s. But Casey Ready 4s is not aiming simply at increasing the number of slots that we subsidized. We're aiming at having access to high-quality pre-K for all four-year-olds in Kalamazoo County. And the extent to which the state helps fund some of those slots, it helps us achieve that goal. Now, we're still well short of that goal in Kalamazoo County. We need to probably double the number of slots, high-quality slots we have. But certainly welcome news for parents of four-year-olds in Kalamazoo County. I think actually the legislation in some ways dovetails very well with what Casey Ready 4s is doing. One thing we're doing in addition to helping families afford high-quality preschool is we're helping trying to develop high quality among many of the private preschool providers by providing training, curriculum development, encouragement, teacher mentorship, et cetera. And the new legislation encourages private preschool providers to get involved in the program. And I think Kalamazoo County, because of the efforts of Casey Ready 4s, along with other community agencies, along with the Kalamazoo Community Foundation, because of our efforts to increase the quality of private preschool providers, we're going to be in a better position than any other county in the state to use these state funds to help support not only public preschool providers, but also private preschool providers.
One of the other issues you bring up in your blog post is the language about targeting for income with this program, which, of course, a lot of people, I think, would be kind of a natural part of this, that you try to make sure that help goes to those who are perhaps at the bottom of the income scale. But as you say, there's a certain problem here that can develop. There may be unintended consequences. What could be the problem with targeting for income?
Well, one issue is, ideally, if you're running a preschool program, you don't want to run a preschool on the basis of, let's just stick all the low-income kids together and call that the optimal program. An ideal preschool program would serve kids from a variety of income backgrounds in an income-integrated classroom. You would get a lot of positive peer effects from that. And I think it would better prepare people for living in a modern society. And if you start running a highly income-targeted program, you get away from that. And I think it has some negative effects on quality. You also can run into issues of the more you do income targeting, it results in more convoluted procedures for applying for these programs, figuring out who goes to what program. That can create barriers to enrolling kids in the program, make it more complicated to administer the program, increase administrative costs. And I think that there are some issues with that with this new legislation, because the legislature put in a number of provisions trying to increase the income targeting of the state's preschool efforts. I think those efforts are very well intentioned. They may result in some complications, some unintended consequences. Hopefully those can be worked out in terms of how the program is practically run on a day-to-day basis.
You've obviously been following this issue closely now for at least a few years. Have you seen something of a change here where there seems to be more interest and certain groups who perhaps didn't have this on their radar 10 years ago are now looking at early childhood education and seeing it as an important issue?
I think you're seeing more interest in this by the business community than there once was. I think, you know, there recently was a major national statement put out by the national group Ready Nation, which is part of America's Promise Alliance, which Colin Powell started some years back, where they had several hundred business leaders signed a petition arguing that investing in early child education was a major part of making America more economically competitive. So I think there is greater understanding than there once was that this is not simply a feel-good program, look at all the cute kids in preschool. This is also a way of investing in a cost-effective way that pays off in the long term and results in adults who have better skills, not just academic skills, but also better social skills, and therefore can be more productive workers, more productive citizens. So I think there are different audiences that are seeing broader benefits to preschool than were once perceived.
The Mackinac Policy Conference is still going on as we speak on Thursday morning, but both Governor Snyder and the former Florida Governor Jeb Bush both talked about early childhood education at that conference. As someone was quoted here in the online news service Bridge Magazine, saying it's not a red-blue issue. That's Stephen Barnett, director of the National Institute of Early Education Research. Has this kind of moved beyond partisan boundaries?
Well, I'm not sure it's completely moved beyond partisan boundaries. It is true it's moved beyond regional boundaries because some of the leading states in preschool are actually in the Sun Belt states. So, for example, Oklahoma has universal preschool for four-year-olds. And from all reports, it's a pretty high-quality program. They have quality standards. The teachers are paid at public school teacher salary scales. They have a good curriculum. There are many evaluations showing that it's effective in increasing kindergarten readiness. Georgia is another state that has extensive preschool. West Virginia. These states all have much more conservative politics than some of the northern states, and yet they've endorsed preschool. Now, in some cases, you have gotten into partisan battles about this, and you know, there are legitimate issues over how much should parents pay, how much should the state pay, how do you allocate across different income groups, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that a broader group of people are willing to endorse this area. I mean, we're not talking about something that goes against good parenting. I mean, we need good parenting. What preschool does, though, is provide something that's hard for parents to provide on their own. I mean, preschool provides a group setting in which kids can learn to interact with other kids in a creative way. They can learn to wait their turn. I mean, the old joke or book, Everything I Need to Know in Life I Learned in Kindergarten, perhaps should be modified to say that that works better if you learn it in preschool because the brain's more malleable the earlier on you start. And you learn a lot of those skills, and it sets you up for later learning throughout your life.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that covered it. I think it's a major step forward for Michigan. It poses some challenges. However, I think that for Michigan to really move to be a leading state in preschool, we need to go beyond this step and take further steps in expanding both access and quality over the next 4 or 5 years.
Tim Bartik, thank you for your time.
Thank you.